You get life experience credit. Dr. Ronald Dunbar. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But you ever learn, the thing that you learn, even when you study the Bible or anything else, is it has a bias so that it justifies your own position. That's pretty scary. All righty. Ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Never able to come it means to arrive at. Knowledge, as we said yesterday, is epignosis. It means, it's the same as, it implies the word rhema. There's two words for the word in the Bible. One is logos and the other is rhema. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The hearing comes by the rhema of God. It means that it's spoken from someone for whom that has been mixed with. So it's not a philosophy. It's not intellectual knowledge. It's knowledge that has been tried and tested so that there's no shadow or turning. You know that you know that you know. Right. The truth, as we've studied many times, is that which doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. We studied Janes and Jambres in verse 8, the magicians that withstood Moses. We studied they were of corrupt minds. Okay, and in verse 9, But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Folly is anoia, A-N-O-I-A, and it comes from, it's a negative, and then with the word Greek word nous, N-O-U-S. And N-O-U-S is the word for mind or soul, the thing that makes you you. And so folly, in this context, is it means out of your mind, out of right mind, senseless. It also includes madness. And we're going to look at a bunch of folly because we don't want any folly here, right?
Right.
Folly is not good. So let's start it. We're going to look at the New Testament ones, and then we're going to look at the Old Testament ones. So let's go to Luke 6. We're studying folly. John, are you getting dressed down? It's cold.
No, I'm cold. Probably you're hurt.
This is where Jesus and the Sabbath. And then in verse 3 he said, let's start in 1. It came to pass in the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, or wheat fields, and the disciple plucked ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do you that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they were that which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Now you can't believe what this would cause in the synagogue at that time. The idea, first, that it's probably in the same synagogue that these other guys were from, where they chided him for eating the wheat on the Sabbath. But he stood up, and he knew what they were thinking. He knew they were setting him up, and he healed the man and had the man stand up and show that he was healed. Now, that's illegal according to their understanding of the Sabbath. So, and Jesus said unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save a life or destroy it?" And looking about them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Now the word madness there is the word that's translated folly. So folly can be madness, it can be out of your mind, it can be just silly, ridiculous things. And so, one more. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. He's talking in chapter 10 about the guys that are setting up others to be something special. And so in verse 13 of chapter 10, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we had reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Now he goes on. He said, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." And what he's doing, since he's talking about, whenever he talks about himself, he calls it folly. Now that's a biggie. He always apologizes. And so then he said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Last night we were supposed to be studying the stars and Wednesday night Bible study, but we ended up talking a great deal about that you never, ever, ever have an excuse to not be in the rest. You never, ever, ever have an excuse to be concerned about something. You never, ever have an excuse to need more that's in your hand at the time. So there's always that simple position of in Christ. And so let nothing, what does he say? Let nothing, by any means, a servant beguile Eve through his subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If Christ is your life, then anything other than the recognition of that and the living of that is folly. Understand? All right, now we're going to go look at Old Testament stuff. Old Testament follies. First go to Joshua chapter 7. Now, you remember in this chapter, they had just destroyed, well, they had just come out of the wilderness. They had celebrated the first Passover in the Promised Land. They had then destroyed Jericho. And now they're just right after Jericho. And they go up against this little teeny city called Ai, A-I. And they're defeated. They were overwhelmed by the army of this little minuscule city. And they couldn't figure out why. It didn't make any sense because they thought God was with them. But hundreds of men were killed. And all of a sudden, they figured it out. And it's the sin of Achan, remember?
They only lost 36 men, it says right here.
Okay, 36 men, excuse me.
What chapter?
Chapter 7. Now, they found out that this guy named Achan had done something. And so let's start in verse 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing among you. Now, this happened for our example. It showed us that we are one of another. And so that in this case, we're going to see what he did in a minute. But if it's the same thing. We are one of another. And it doesn't matter how many people come and go. That's not the issue. The issue is that the core body is one person from God's perspective. And that core body is treated as, if one sorrows, all sorrow. If one rejoices, all rejoice. But if one is really screwing up, then we all suffer. Now that doesn't seem fair, but it's true. So let's see what happened, because this happened for our benefit. Now, verse 13, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Now, this violates every kind of concept that we have about fairness and justice. And this, do you understand what I'm saying? That Ronnie's welfare is more important than my own. But that Ronnie's screw up affects us all. Watch. Verse 14, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. Folly here was this accursed thing. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah and took the family of Zarites. He brought the family of the Zarites man by man, and Zabi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, was taken, and Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord him, of God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw the spoils, among the spoils, a godly, goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, his oxen, his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Now, we're not going to do that, obviously. And this isn't talking about the physicality of things. This is talking about what Babylonian garment have you hid in the earth under your in your tabernacle? What gold, what glory have you got? What silver, your own redemption? What is hid in your tent? What is keeping you from being empty in faith before God? And this, and so they took they took Achan, his wife, his sons and his daughters, his possessions, his oxen, and they stoned them. Now, here we see, we can say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. He was a bad God or vengeful God. But now we have the God of the New Testament, and he's a nice God. He's the same God. And what is hidden in one of us, God sees as hidden in all of us. You understand that? Now, the word that's used to describe that is out of your mind, or folly, or senseless. It's senseless for anyone to have to take these possessions and hide them before God. That's folly. All right? Yeah. Let's look at another folly. Judges, next book. Joshua, Judges, chapter 20. Now, this is when the tribe of Benjamin became the most hated tribe in all of Israel. And it's there was a, well, let's just read the first six verses. And then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drove sword, that drew a sword. Now this 400,000, it means those that are between 20 and 50. So there were 400,000 that were able to draw the sword legally, and that was from 20 to 50. They retired at 50. And so there's a whole bunch of people here. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, "Tell us, how was this wickedness?" And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered, said, "I came unto Gibeah, that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about me day by night, and thought to have slain me and my concubine. Have they forced that she is dead? And I took my concubine, and I cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel." Now, you ought to read this. We don't have time to do it, but this is a story that's incredible in what happened. But all of these things that we call terrible and sin and blah, 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 they're all folly. And that's what I want you to hear. Let's go to Psalm 49.
Sin is folly.
Everything is folly. It's being out of your mind. Well, anyway, let's start at verse 12. "Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not; he is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly; yet their posterity approve their sayings." Now, it's all about trusting in wealth and trust in having all of the other things that men do, that God calls folly, but the folly is really that then the posterity approve of all our sayings. They've set that person up, even though he was total and complete in folly from the standpoint of God, and yet their posterity approve all their sayings. Now, if you've ever written or read memoirs or biographies of different people or the sayings of all these people. One of my favorite books before I was a believer was Ideas and Opinions by Albert Einstein. It was this thick book, and it just had all his little cutesy sayings. And they were great until I became a believer. And then all of those sayings of probably one of the smartest men that has ever lived became folly. I had a meeting the other day. With somebody, and his great friend and counselor and mentor was a psychologist that knew him inside and out. And this great man had said to him that because of the way he was treated by his father, he could never repent. And that saying stuck. And so I called this great man a blithering idiot. And if you want to see somebody mad, I mean, you take these great sayings that sound so right, that are folly, but we keep them in our minds. Now we've got all these things that we learned as children that we end up using to justify all of our other crap, and they're nothing but folly. They're madness from God's standpoint. A little bit of understanding? All right. Proverbs 16. Let's keep going to the right. After Psalms is Proverbs. I'm going in order for you, Ronnie.
Thank you, Homer. That really works.
Verse 16.
Chapter verse 16.
No, wait a minute. What did I say? Chapter 16, verse. The wise, verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that findeth, that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. To try to instruct a fool is folly. So what's a fool? By definition, spiritually, a fool is anyone who has a set idea in time and space. Who has taken a stand in time and space. That is a fool. And any instruction of a fool is folly. It's the same kind of folly as all that evil that was done to Achan and in the tribe of Benjamin. To God, it's the same folly. What?
Okay.
All right? Proverbs 26. Just one verse, verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so as a fool returneth to his folly.
This has three follies.
Hmm?
This has three follies, verses 4 and 5.
Yeah, well, I just read. Well, you want to read them all? Let's just read it. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeth shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So anyway, on and on. We in Bananas, we used to have field trips. We went camping out in East Texas. And I found a dead cow that was slowly being eaten by maggots. And so we had a field trip to the dead cow to show them their life. Then, and we had a dog when I was over on Wentwood that some dog had vomited on the lawn. So we had a field trip to the vomit, the dog's vomit, to show What? It's to show that the dog returneth to his own vomit.
Yeah.
Anyway, a couple more. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 2. Just keep going to the right. A few pages. For our Bible scholars. Ecclesiastes 2. Verse 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. And one more, last one, Isaiah 9. Keep going to the right. The Lord, in verse 8, the Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on the fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Every mouth speaketh folly. From God's perspective, every thought and every word that comes into you or out of you that is not founded on the finished work of Christ is folly. That's why you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There is no thought that you can have that can stand against it is finished. Everything else is folly. All opinions, all ideas, all the great works, everything that man has done, every invention, every improvement, every idea since the day of the cross is folly. Because it's all an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. Anybody understand that? The night has come, and no man can work. No man can come up with an idea. There's nothing new. It's all folly. He didn't create man in his image. It didn't create a flawed man. He created an innocent man And man's desire to know good and evil caused the fall.
Okay. But I thought, well, thinking, what about will that give me? But
go ahead anyway.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you would think that there would have been more. Yeah, even though we were, I don't know what to say.
The biggest thing that modern man misses is the fall. And so we make all of our judgments and ideas and philosophies without considering that we have fallen. That we are under the curse.
Did the fall come relatively quickly and easily?
We don't know. Man was created innocent, without awareness of himself. And so all he saw was God and others. The fall created the mirror. We don't know how many of the tests. He was supposed to... The whole idea in the garden when God created man was to transform the innocence into holiness by antagonism. We don't know how long it took and how many tests that Adam and Eve passed. We know the one they failed.
It was possible they were very obedient and they were very, very faithful, but they finally, temptation,
right,
got them.
And people say, well, that's not fair, because I didn't do anything. I didn't fall. But the question then to ask is, if your grandfather had died at birth, where would you be? You are subject to everything all the way back to the first. And the human race was cursed. And that's the basis of the cross. If there's some other way that you can be fixed other than the cross, it can't happen. The predicate of Christianity is your acceptance of your death, period. Anything else?
Stella's waiting for you. Jackie was just out for a second, or I told you to be done in a minute.
All righty, take it, big guy. Think on these things.